You know, when it comes to athletic performance, doing your best in a sport, usually I think people think about strength, muscles, training. But a big part of athletic performance is actually about your gut. And problems with your gut can really hold you back. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. We have the author of a new book with us today. The book's title is The Athlete's Gut, The Inside Science of Digestion, Nutrition, and Stomach Distress. Patrick Wilson is the author. He's an associate professor of exercise science at Old Dominion University, where he directs the Human Performance Laboratory. He's also a registered dietitian. Great to have him with us. So is this something you've experienced before? Maybe the day of your big race as a runner, you've had stomach problems that put a damper on your performance. Maybe as an athlete, you've tried to change things up in your diet to make it easier on your stomach. Questions for our guest today. I hope you'll join in. What do you have for questions about digestion and sports as it relates to sports? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Patrick Wilson, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for the invite, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to talking about the book. And, you know, an issue that I think somewhat surprisingly to people affects a lot of athletes. So hopefully we'll get some good questions here and give some insight for your listeners.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed reading through your book. And the gut, I've come to learn from reading your book, is really important. We always focus on strength, you know, that kind of thing, stamina, but the gut isn't always in the spotlight for sure.
Right. I mean, you can kind of think of examples of high-profile athletes that have actually had some pretty bad, you know, gastrointestinal issues in the course of competition that basically, you know, ruined their chances of winning or really impacted them negatively. You know, there's examples going all the way back to the first Tour de France in 1903. There was a French cyclist named Hippolyte Couturier, who was one of the favorites to actually win the race. But 320 or so kilometers into the first stage, he had to drop out because of severe stomach cramps. In more contemporary times, you know, you have even like American football players, for example. Brandon Brooks is a guard for the Eagles that has been pretty public about his struggles with anxiety, and he's had a lot of pre-game vomiting. And he's actually had to miss some games for that. So, you know, it affects a wide swath of athletes, heavily probably slanted towards endurance athletes, but even team sport athletes and others, you know, struggle with these issues.
What, you know, I was kind of surprised, even a side stitch, which I've gotten from time to time, I haven't had one for a while now, but even a side stitch relates to your bowels?
Well, there's a lining inside your abdominal cavity that we think maybe is partly explaining that side stitch phenomenon. It's an area where there's not a lot of clarity, or it's a little bit difficult to actually understand the, you know, the mechanisms of what's driving the side stitch. But the best hypothesis at this point is sort of an irritation of this lining inside the abdominal cavity. So it's not like it's your actual gut or the tube that's being irritated. It's sort of the lining inside of that abdominal cavity that's causing sort of an irritation that may manifest as sort of a stitch or a pain that's bothersome. So that's definitely one that, you know, is a symptom that can stop athletes kind of dead in their tracks. Yeah. If it gets severe enough, they, you know, either slow down or just outright stop.
Jeff in Superior has a question for you. Let's go there. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not a paid representative, but I'm a consumer, and I'm a big fan of Shaklee vitamins, and I've heard they have high-performance athletes for, like, Olympics. And I know people who go curling, and they use Shaklee performance vitamins. I wondered if the guest can tell us about Shaklee products.
Huh. You know anything about those, Patrick?
I'm from Minnesota, so I know of the company. I'm actually a native northerner. In terms of vitamins in general with athletic performance, kind of the rule of thumb is if an athlete is eating a a calorically adequate diet, meaning they're eating enough food to supply the energy that they need to perform and train, and their diet is relatively well balanced, the studies don't indicate that there's really any significant performance benefit that you'd expect to see from taking things like multivitamins. Now, I also mentioned that in some cases, when you take high dose supplements, the perfect example would be like vitamin C or E, that it can actually interfere with your ability to adapt to training if you take those things for weeks on end or months on end. You can kind of think of training as a stressor, and if you're using antioxidants to kind of blunt that stressor, what it ends up doing in some cases is actually slow down how quickly you're adapting. It basically makes the training less stressful. The whole purpose of the training is getting stronger, faster, quicker. So, you know, most multivitamins are not going to be harmful for athletes, but single nutrient supplements in high dosages in some cases can have negative effects.
Yeah, there we go. You know, I really liked your description and talking about the gut. You said the gut is kind of like an automobile assembly line, and I thought, what a good way to explain how it works. Talk about that whole idea.
Yeah, I think it's useful to think of it as different kind of components within your gastrointestinal system. You know, it's about a 25 to 30 foot long tubular system, but within that 25 to 30 feet, you have different structures, different functions that obviously have different purposes. So the way that I like to think about it is the top half, your mouth, your stomach, there's a lot of mechanical digestion that's going on there. It's actually physical chewing and churning that breaks down the foodstuffs into smaller components that later on in the small intestine primarily are going to be acted upon chemically by enzymes, basically little proteins that split apart the carbohydrates, fats, and proteins that you eat. The purpose of splitting those apart are to make the components small enough that you can actually absorb them through your small intestinal wall, because your intestine does not like to generally absorb large molecules. So you have to kind of break them down into their basic building blocks before you can take them up into your bloodstream and before they can be used by your bodily tissues. Now, the colon, the last part of the guts, is really an interesting area because you have maybe 30 to 50 trillion bacteria living there, which is as much or more than the number of cells in your entire body. And there's obviously a lot of stuff that goes on there, but fermentation of things like fiber and carbohydrates are kind of an important function of the colon, along with reabsorbing some water that's left over from the small intestine. So, you know, so the gut has these different sections that have different parts to it. And if you have an issue in just one of those sections of the gut, it can manifest as symptoms or issues that disrupt performance for an athlete. So it doesn't have to be a whole gut-wide issue. It can be just an issue, for example, in your stomach or just an issue in your colon.
How did this become such a big part of your work and research? Why is the gut so important to you?
You know, as part of my PhD, I did some studies with endurance athletes. I've always been someone who participates in sports. You know, I was a distance runner, basketball player. I had some of those issues. But as I got into my graduate studies, I started doing, you know, some research with different nutritional approaches to look at feeling for athletes. And one of the things I looked at was, you know, the gastrointestinal effects or the gastrointestinal symptoms that sometimes arise when athletes try and feel during competition. It's kind of a delicate balance, right? Mm-hmm. During exercise, the priority for your body is generally not to digest and absorb food. What it's trying to do is supply blood and oxygen and nutrients to the working muscle. So your gut sometimes gets compromised during especially high-intensity exercise because blood flow to the gut at that point isn't a priority. It becomes difficult, though, for your gut to digest and absorb a lot of nutrients or a lot of foodstuffs during prolonged exercise because of this, you know, balance that your body's trying to work out and supplying enough blood to your muscle and then also supplying some blood to your gut so that can actually bring those nutrients to the muscle. So it's a good, you know, it's a good situation to study in terms of trying to figure out what are the right approaches nutritionally to fuel an athlete without causing undue, you know, gut issues. It's a delicate balance.
Delicate balance. Patrick Wilson, our guest today, he is the author of a really interesting book that we're talking with him about. The Athlete's Gut, the Inside Science of Digestion, Nutrition, and Stomach Distress. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today to answer your questions. So look forward to talking with him. And I also just look forward to talking with you for just a few seconds about our Wisconsin Public Radio itself during Giving Tuesday. If you haven't given yet, I hope you will now. Your generosity keeps us connected with the news, the conversations like the one we're having today with Patrick Wilson. And if you haven't given yet on this special Giving Tuesday, I really hope you'll give today and give right now, as a matter of fact. You can do it very easily. Just go to online to WPR.org. That's WPR.org. And make your contribution during this Giving Tuesday. It means a lot to us. You could also phone us at 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Back with Patrick Wilson right after this look at the news. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Patrick Wilson. He is an associate professor of exercise science at Old Dominion University, where he directs the Human Performance Laboratory, also a registered dietitian. And his new book is called The Athlete's Gut, The Inside Science of Digestion, Nutrition, and Stomach Distress. So, do you have questions about how diet impacts sports performance? Questions about digestion, gut health related to being an athlete? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Patrick Wilson, let's kind of go back to your book a bit here now. What are some of the most common gut problems that you hear from athletes and that you try to treat in your book?
So, yeah, if you look at surveys of athletes, most of them are coming from endurance runners or cyclists. And you typically see symptoms like belching, flatulence, gas kind of being the top of the list, which is probably not too surprising, given that even if you're not an athlete, you're probably going to be experiencing those things, you know, fairly regularly. But the more troublesome symptoms tend to be things like nausea, bloating, abdominal cramping, side stitching, and then kind of urges to go to the bathroom is pretty prevalent among runners, especially. There's even a term, runner's trots, that describes that kind of phenomenon. So, yeah, the prevalence varies a lot depending on, you know, the environmental conditions. They tend to be much worse in the heat. They vary with the intensity of exercise, the duration of exercise. To some extent, they vary between men and women. Your experience with that particular activity or exercise modality. So there's a bunch of different things that tend to impact how common these things are. But what I would say is that over the course of a couple of months, it's pretty probable that a runner, for example, at some point over that 2 to 3 month period is going to experience some form of GI distress that is severe enough to impact their training or competition, right? So on any given single run, it's not highly probable, but over the course of months, most athletes are having some sort of issue that arises.
And your book, you've got your book, it's kind of in three parts, if I'm not mistaken. So you describe those for us?
Yeah, so the first part goes through the anatomy, physiology. You know, I don't assume that everybody knows the different parts of the gut, and it's just a good refresher to kind of remind people, if they've already had that information or if they've never had it, you know, what makes up the gut, what it does, and make it fun. So I use a lot of analogies and humor to try and liven up the material. And then the second part of that first section of the book goes through all the possible symptoms an athlete can experience during training and competition, and explain why that happens and what are some of the things you can take a look at to remedy those issues. Because different symptoms can arise for different reasons, right? So if you have nausea, the reason why you have that may be very different from why someone experiences abdominal cramping. So these symptoms are not all the same. So you kind of have to take a symptom-by-symptom approach to try and address them if you want to get a handle on some of these problems. The second section is nutrition. So I go through carbohydrates, proteins, fats, fluid, training the guts, which is kind of a new phenomenon. And then the last part is psychology, which is a sometimes underappreciated factor that plays a role in gut issues for a lot of people, even, you know, non-athletes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said that females actually seem to have problems more than males when it comes to athletes.
That is true for certain symptoms. So particularly bloating. For constipation and bloating. And as your previous guest had mentioned, Melissa, you know, there's some evidence that women have just slower transit of foodstuffs through like the colon. So if you think if you're eating a fibrous meal, for example, and that fiber is taking longer to move through the colon, that is more time for that fiber to be fermented. And the product of fermentation is going to be gas. So that may partly explain why women are more likely to experience symptoms like bloating, is just the slower transit allows more time for that fiber, for example, to be fermented into gases. And that would also explain the constipation being more common in women, is the slower transit as well would allow more water in the colon to be absorbed, resulting in smaller, harder stools. Other symptoms like reflux and heartburn may be more common in men, but probably on the whole, if you could kind of lump all symptoms together, it's probably a little bit more common in women.
Sharon in Appleton emailed to ask, if she's going on a 4-hour hike, moderate intensity, and she wonders what she should eat beforehand. What should she eat during the hike, if anything? You know, her goal is to have sufficient energy throughout the hike.
Yeah, so for hiking, that's an interesting situation because generally the intensity is, as she mentioned, more moderate of nature, which means you can certainly eat during that activity, and, you know, that may make you feel better perceptually. When we think about higher level athletes and performance, we start to, you know, focus more specifically on carbohydrate intake as you get into events or competitions or training sessions that last more than an hour to an hour and a half. After an hour to hour and a half, your body's stores of carbohydrates start to dwindle, and it becomes helpful at that point to consume carbohydrate-containing foods or supplements to help maintain a higher rate of carbohydrate burning. And the reason why we like to maintain a higher rate of carbohydrate burning is because it's a more efficient fuel than fat. And this is more specific to higher level athletes who are really pushing hard. So in her case, I would say eat whatever you like that makes you feel good. You might want to avoid large amounts of fat, fiber, and solid protein because that can make you feel a little bit more full or bloated, or in some cases cause nausea if you're eating a lot of that stuff during exercise. But if the intensity of exercise is relatively moderate, most people can handle a wider array of foods. It's not until you start to get into the more intense types of activity where you run into more problems for people digesting and absorbing that stuff, and you start to want to maybe more focus specifically on ingesting carbohydrate.
Yeah, I was thinking about one of my own experiences where I was on a bike ride. It was a 5.5-day bike ride or so, 500 miles, so about 100 miles a day or so. And the folks that were part of that, leading that, were just saying, well, you can pretty much eat whatever you want every day. And I, you know, we had little stops every 25 miles or so where you could get some, you know, get something to eat. I really didn't have any problems at all on that particular ride, but I think I had more carbohydrates than anything else each day.
Yeah, you start to see more problems when you have higher intensity exercise that really lasts, you know, a few hours or more. Probably the group that is most prone to experiencing severe gut issues are ultra runners. So there's some studies where 60% of them in a 100-mile race may develop nausea, which is a really, really high prevalence. And not every single one of those cases is severe, but maybe 40% of finishers of ultra races will say that GI symptoms are affecting their performance. So when you combine higher intensity with really prolonged exercise, that's kind of a mixture of factors that elicits a higher prevalence of these issues, particularly nausea, which is for a lot of people, a troublesome symptom that causes them to definitely either slow down or in some cases drop out of a race.
Yeah, and nausea is caused by what again?
That's a tricky one. It has a lot of potential causes, because basically what's happening is there's a region in your brain called the vomiting center, not super complicated, but chemical stimuli, certain foodstuffs you ingest, motion disturbances, anything that triggers the activation of that brain region can trigger nausea and vomiting. Now, when it comes to exercise and, prolonged ultra-endurance exercise, for example, there's lots of stuff floating around in your blood that can trigger that center in your brain. So you've got things like adrenaline that's being excreted to help you generate energy. You've got arginine vasopressin. That's just a fancy term for a fluid-conserving hormone. Your muscle starts to break down, so you've got these muscle breakdown products. Inflammation markers go up in your blood. So it's kind of a soupy mixture in your blood that may help explain why nausea becomes increasingly prevalent as exercise durations get past, 3, 4, 5 hours.
Patrick Wilson, our guest today, he is the author of a really interesting book. It's called The Athlete's Gut, The Inside Science of Digestion, Nutrition, and Stomach Distress. Questions for him, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Carrie emailed to ask if you have recommendations for, I think it's GU or sports gel alternatives. She says they're great for quick, convenient energy, but can sometimes hurt her stomach. She's found great sport drink alternatives, but looking for food or gel options.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it, unfortunately, there's not like a straightforward recommendation, because one thing you start to understand pretty quickly about nutrition recommendations during exercise is that people are very, very individual in terms of how they respond to different products. So I would, continue to experiment with different either real foods or sports nutrition supplements. In terms of the studies, what they typically show is that beverages are the best tolerated, gels are maybe in between, and then solid foods like bars tend to cause the most problems. Now, for the beverages, what I would say is that you generally would want to select something that is what we call isotonic, which means that the concentration is similar to what your blood is. So a hypertonic beverage would be one where there's so much carbohydrate in it that its concentration is much more than your blood, and that can cause issues in the gut when it gets into the small intestine. So things like soda, juice, or if you're making your own sports beverage and putting a lot of sugar into it, if it's a hypertonic beverage, that consistently in studies elicits a higher rate of GI symptoms. So, the big manufacturers of like Gatorade and Powerade, those beverages are all isotonic, so they're a good starting point for most people. And then you may need to trial different products to see what works for you, because honestly, there's dozens and dozens of products out there, and we don't have studies to show which of those individual products are, the best for, a wide range of people. So it ends up being trial and error is kind of the standard recommendation that dietitians give to people when they're trying to figure that stuff out.
A lot of issues seem to happen before or sometimes after or during an athlete's big race or competition. I wonder, stress and anxiety, you talk about that in your book a bit, the sort of mind-body thing. How does that affect the gut function in an athlete?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, I started going over kind of the science on GI symptoms in athletes and psychological factors, and I was somewhat surprised that there really weren't any studies specifically linking those two factors in athletes. Now, there's lots of studies in the general population showing a connection, between gut symptoms and things like anxiety, but not so much in athletes. So I've published a couple of studies now that do confirm that athletes who report more anxiety and stress in their life are experiencing more GI symptoms during training, and also to some extent during competition. So one of the more recent ones I had published found that athletes who were reporting more anxiety in the morning of a race were significantly more likely to have upper GI symptoms like nausea. So the reason why that is because there is a pretty intricate connection between your gut and your central nervous system in your brain. Your gut itself houses probably several hundred million neurons, so about the amount that you find in the brain of your pet dog or cat. And much of the communication actually goes from your gut up to your brain via the vagus nerve. So there's kind of a crosstalk between your gut and your brain. And we know that your mood, how you feel, affects gut function. So if you have an athlete specifically that struggles with stress or pre-competition anxiety, what I would probably recommend is try and use some strategies to help reduce that, which could include things like deep breathing, mindfulness, maybe listening to relaxing music, any number of approaches that have been shown in other populations to help reduce anxiety and stress. But there's definitely a deep connection there, and we're just starting to understand that scientifically in the realm of athletes.
And you see a lot more athletes these days with their own guru or advisor or whatever to help them with that sort of thing. Even in golf, you see it.
Yeah, you do see that, and a lot of that comes down to managing, you know, competition nerves, competition anxiety. So it obviously has an effect on performance and how athletes are able to compete on the field or on the court or in a race. And gut issues are just one subset of the potential problems that can arise when you have an athlete who struggles with those issues. You know, it's definitely not all athletes, but it's maybe a subset. 20 to 30% seem to have more issues with anxiety around competition. And those are the ones that would seem to be most likely to benefit from some sort of intervention that could help reduce some of that either general life anxiety or pre-competition anxiety.
Yeah. I was fascinated by your research. Some of your research, you had athletes through some interesting trials, running on treadmills for hours at a time after consuming different kinds of sugars. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So for my PhD, one of the studies I did, it was a lab study where I had runners do this prolonged run on a treadmill. They actually did two of them. Each runner had to do two. In one condition, they got a beverage that had all glucose in it. And then the other condition, they got a beverage that had a mixture of glucose and fructose. So the reason why we did that study was because in your intestine, you've got these protein transporters that help shuttle the sugar molecules from kind of the hollow space into your cells. And they have an upper limit in terms of how much they can absorb in a given hour. So if you mix different types of sugars, you can theoretically increase absorption efficiency in the gut when an athlete is consuming a lot of carbohydrate. So to prove this, you generally need to do exercise tasks that last a long time. So the runners in this study had to go on the treadmill for about 2.5 hours each time while drinking these different beverages. I think in the end, I ended up recruiting about 20 subjects that finished the study. So myself, I spent, 100 plus hours watching athletes run on the treadmill, administering them these syrupy beverages, measuring stuff on them. Got a little monotonous, but I guess I'd much rather be me than them, where they had to stare at a lab wall for 5 hours total with no music or TV. So.
Oh, man. Randy in Trempealeau County couldn't hold on, but he said that his son did the Birkebeiner. It's a big race here. And there was a stand selling pure maple syrup for energy, and it really helped him.
Well, yeah, and I mean, natural foods can be a definite choice for athletes, whether it be syrup or honey or bananas or dried fruit. You know, all sorts of things that have carbohydrate in them are a good option for athletes, assuming that they kind of test that stuff out beforehand. What sometimes can go wrong is, you see something at an aid station that looks pretty good, but you haven't really tested that out during your training, but you decide you did anyways. You know, sometimes that goes fine and sometimes it doesn't go fine. So a big kind of tenet of the sports nutrition recommendations is to try things during training first before you really implement them during a competition. But yeah, maple syrup or other quick-acting sugars are a good choice during actual exercise.
Bob in Minocqua, do you have a quick comment or question?
Hi. I run.
Oh, we lost him. We're losing you, Bob. Bob had a question about running and stimulating waste through the colon. Does running help do that?
So physical activity in general, it seems to have a clearing effect of gas and maybe also sort of stool in the colon. So, you know, we know that, for example, patients who have had surgeries or have been on bed rest for a while, if you get them up moving around, that seems to help start moving stuff, especially in the lower end of your gut, in your colon. And this maybe also helps explain to some extent why lower bowel issues like the urge to defecate or the runner's trots are so common in runners is not only is it physical activity, but there's also sort of a jarring aspect to it that if you run for long enough, maybe causes some micro damage to the intestinal lining, leading to malabsorption of fluid and nutrients that ends up kind of as stool. So yeah, I mean, any sort of physical activity tends to elicit sort of a clearing effect of gas and stool from the colon, but running of anything maybe does it most prominently.
Well, Patrick, I enjoyed your book very much, and I can tell you anybody who has athletic inclinations, does running or biking or anything else for that matter, I think will be helped by your book. Thank you so much for talking with us about it today. I really appreciate it.
For sure. I appreciate, again, the invite, and thanks to your listeners for their questions.
I hope we get a chance to do this again. Patrick Wilson, Associate Professor of Exercise Science. He directs the Human Performance Lab at Old Dominion University, certainly a recognized expert on these matters. So great to have him with us today, and certainly it's always great to have you listening in as well. And I want to thank you if you've contributed during this Wisconsin Public Radio drive during our sort of Giving Tuesday. So it's a sort of a one day here, a Giving Tuesday. Your generosity really helps. It keeps us connected with news and the kind of information you heard on today's program. I think it's useful information that we can all benefit from. If you missed Giving Tuesday, well, here's your chance now. Just go to WPR.org. That's WPR.org and make your contribution. You could also call us at 888-202-2552. And make a contribution in support of the programs that you enjoy and make a difference for people's lives every day. Thank you so much. And thank you again for listening to this show and all our shows. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.